You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Kyle.
Fuck that, I ain't doing it.
Knockouts and three counts.
Yes, this is knockouts and three counts.
This isn't The Conjuring, okay?
I wanted to try something new. I forgot what this is called. What is this called, Andy? Like ASR or something like that?
ASMR.
ASMR, yes, yes. I don't know what that stands for.
I don't know what the
fuck. I mean, if you want to be real quiet, I can just turn your microphone off.
All right, it's good seeing you guys. Go ahead. This is Knockouts and Three Counts. I'm your boy, Devin. Got Kyle here. We're going to go ahead and go through our introductions, and then we're going to introduce... Oh, he hasn't called yet. I bet. We'll talk a little bit of wrestling, a little MMA before we get our guests in here. But Kyle, why don't you go ahead and go through your spiel?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit N-O-K-O-U-T. Make sure you're following the show at KO3CPod on Twitter and Instagram. Also, make sure you're following our Facebook page, as that's where we're most active, at Knockouts and Three Counts Podcast. And, yeah, shout out to past guests of the show this weekend, putting it on the line, making his pro boxing debut, Muneeb. Hopefully, yes, you go out and knock this fool out, because that guy made me embarrassed to be American. So, just saying. That guy needs to get his ass kicked.
Is that how you really feel, Kyle?
Exactly how I feel.
Okay. I'm going back to my ASMR F14.
Shut the fuck up, dog.
Well, I'm Devin. You can find me on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can find me on Instagram at AllStakeNoSizzle. And make sure you check out the Reality Era News page on Facebook, where we talk wrestling. It's been some very interesting debates in there over the past... a couple weeks, man, especially about Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey and all that good stuff. So join us in there to join the conversation. If you're looking for a card, make sure you check out Matthew Hargrave's Chevrolet. What? 2 weeks in a row with a different sponsor? Go to mhchevy.com to check out the inventory. Whether you're looking for a new car or a used car, you can find everything there. Make sure you go holler at my boy Anthony, and he will definitely hook you up. Tell him I sent you so that I can get monies. And you get and you get a nice deal on your car. Bam.
So should we tell them who we're bringing on the show today?
Yeah.
I mean, the zero people watching on Facebook already know because it's in the show description, but...
Well, in that case, thank you for bursting our bubble.
The zero people. Thank you to all none of you.
Yeah, all watching. Of you that said fuck you, but... Yeah, we're bringing Brett Martin on the show today. He's about to step in the cage for Lights Out Fighting, Lights Out Championship.
Second time on the show?
Second time on there. He was coming off his win against Ryan Pokrivka.
Say that three times fast.
Yeah, I'm not going to. For TWC, he's going to be fighting for Lights Out Championship February 16th against Josh Parisian. Josh Parisian's name you might know because Josh Parisian just fought on the most recent season of The Ultimate Fighter with the heavyweights. So this is a big fight for Brett. We're going to talk to him all about that, his thoughts on the fight, and his thoughts on bringing another belt. But while we wait for Brett to call in, what the fuck do you think about... I got two things I got to ask you. One's funny and one's serious.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on the whole Becky Lynch thing and all that? Okay. And the funny one is tell me that you haven't enjoyed all this shit with Jeff Jarrett just because I think it's funny as shit.
Okay.
And Road Dogg makes it all the funnier because he makes fun of his own shit.
Okay, I'll start with the Jeff Jarrett first. I never liked Jeff Jarrett. I have never been a Jeff Jarrett fan. I always thought he was a Ric Flair ripoff, but I will say I'm kind of enjoying the Jeff Jarrett reboot. I got to say, man, Jeff actually looked like he's in pretty good shape, man, for a guy that's, you know, quote-unquote retired, that's in the Hall of Fame now, that hasn't necessarily wrestled on a regular basis in a while. He looks like he's in pretty damn good shape, man. I'm looking forward to seeing where they take this whole thing with him and Elias and the Road Dog. Actually, I saw a post earlier today where someone had a picture of the Road Dog and his Portland Trailblazers jersey saying that Fred Durst looks like shit right now. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. But yeah, I don't know why. I just still don't like Jeff Jarrett for some weird reason. But as far as Becky Lynch and Ronda goes, I think hands down this has to be your main event of WrestleMania. There is really no choice.
I agree completely.
I mean,
Please don't add a third person. Can they please have a fucking singles match? Please.
I still think they're going to add Charlotte to it somehow.
Shut the fuck up. I think they are too, but.
I don't want them to, but I mean, the way this is going, you just let this ride, man. And I said it yesterday in the Reality Era news page. Like I was saying, we have some pretty good debates in there, but this is the Ronda Rousey that we need to see. Like her actually being more of herself, not, you know, smiling and, you know, just happy to be here. Like, no, she's pissed off. She's acknowledging the fact that the fans are booing her now. She's, you know, popping off at the mouth, actually speaking like Ronda Rousey was before when she was in the UFC.
Okay, so let me ask you this about that, though. Like, you know, we hear a lot of people shit on her promos and all that kind of stuff. But, like, to me, what we saw last night, to me, I don't want to see, you know, Ronda cut these big promos. But as we hear that, I think that might be Bret Martin. What's up, man? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad, man. Before we get started, throw out all your social media. Tell people where they can find you and where they can get tickets for the fight and all that good stuff.
If you're Facebook, it's Brett Wilbur Martin or Brett Big Dog Martin. And then Instagram is at BigDog285. And if you message either one of those on social media, I'll make sure to get back with you about tickets.
Cool. So how's life been since we last talked to you? You know, we saw you had a good fight against Ryan Pokrivka. You won in a 3-round war. You know, got you the TWC belt, and now you're getting ready to fight for Lights Out and fight for their title against another big name with Parisian. So tell me your thoughts about the last fight and how training's been since.
Last fight was good. You know, it was a good fight. I finally had to, you know, to mix everything together and use my striking and my wrestling to, you know, win a fight. But we learned a lot, got real comfortable. So, you know, we're making our critiques because, you know, I don't give that performance a great grade. You know, I mean, from my standpoint, I felt like I could have performed a lot better. So, but all in all, it was a good win. You know what I mean? Like I said, the point is to go in there and get the job done, and the judges saw it that way. So that was good. And then, you know, we were offered a few different fights and, you know, some people dropped, and then Josh said he was down, and of course it's in Grand Rapids and for another belt, so I'm not going to say no to that. You know what I mean?
He wants the monies that Devin was talking about before you got on the phone.
Yeah. It's a good fight just for the fact of, you know what I mean? I'm pretty promotable. I've worked my ass off to get to where I'm at. You know, I'm only 24, so the sky's the limit, man.
Well, it's funny you say that. I was having this conversation with someone about MMA fighters, and a friend, he didn't know a lot about MMA. He was asking, like, what's like that prime time in someone's life where they are at their best? And I hear a lot of times it's more when someone's in their early to mid 30s. So with you only being 24 and you know coming up in MMA, do you feel that you're coming close to your prime, or do you feel like you got a lot more to learn and to grow from here?
You know, I grew up wrestling, man. So you were never in a prime. You know what I mean? You just performed, you know, no matter what the situation was, if it was the middle of summer or if it was the middle of wrestling season, you know what I mean? If you were wrestling, you were performing, you know, no matter how good the guy was or how great somebody thought he was, you know what I mean? It's just, this is what I've grown up doing. You know what I mean? Yes, fighting has punches and stuff, but it's the same type of grind. You know, it's a manhandling sport where it's so hands-on and it's physical, it's mental. You know what I mean? It's just, so I'm used to it. And, you know, the longer we do it, the better we get. That's how my wrestling career went. And, you know, my wrestling continues to grow just as much as my mixed martial arts does, you know?
So going into this fight with Parisian, you know, what are your thoughts on the fight? You know, other than it being big opportunity, you know, like what are your thoughts on the fight? And is there anything that you want to try to, you know, capitalize or change?
No, it's a good fight. You know, he's a striker and everybody sees that he's a striker and, you know, and everybody thinks I'm just a wrestler. So it gives me another opportunity to go in there and mix everything together and just show that, you know, I can beat anybody in any situation in a fight, you know, as long as I show up and I'm doing what I'm good at and, you know, what we train to do every day at Triumph, you know what I mean? Is as long as I follow my game plan and keep pushing forward and, you know what I mean, throwing my strikes and using my grappling in situations I need to, and, you know, just being a smart fighter. You know what I mean? I'm young, but I understand that if you're smart, it's going to take you a long ways in the sport. So I try to do, you know, the best to use that at my advantage. So Josh is a great fighter, and, you know, the opportunity is obviously big, but I don't take fights to lose. You know what I mean? So obviously we're working hard to go in there and get this taken care of.
Speaking of winning fights, you won your last fight against, how you say that last name one more time? Prokrifkin?
Prokrifkin, yeah.
I got
Prokrifkin,
it. Yeah. So when we talked last time, I asked you how are you going to celebrate, and I brought up Scribbs, Mr. Scribbs pizza. Like, did you go get yourself a Mr. Scribbs pizza after the fight, man?
No, I actually haven't even been to Muskegon in a while.
Oh, wow.
I know, it's crazy. I wish I would have. It's on the list. It's going to be on the list next time I'm in that area, I'll tell you that. Pizza's always good over there, and my girlfriend likes pizza as well. So,
I mean, who doesn't like pizza?
Would you have had this pizza?
The camp's over.
Yeah, I was telling him he hasn't had this pizza. Mr. Scribbs is some damn good pizza.
I guess maybe I'm going to have to try some Mr. Scribbs, yeah. Although I'm not ever in Muskegon.
Yeah, we're going to have to take a trip to Muskegon, man.
We're going to go get some pizza.
It's worth it.
We're going to get some pizza.
Man, but not to be looking, you know, past your opponent coming up in a couple of weeks, man, but after this fight, man, you have anything in mind that you want to do next? You want to continue fighting here in the Michigan area? You think about moving out, trying to try out for other companies? What do you think is next for you after this fight?
You know, I've gotten a lot of fight offers as of recent, you know, from, you know, some of the highest promotions in the world to, you know, just my regional promotions that I'm fighting for. You know, so we get offers, and, you know, I mean, I'm in no rush to go anywhere. You know what I mean? If a fight makes sense and the money's there and the promotion's there and everything that, you know what I mean? I like to look at things in a long-term factor just as much as a short-term, you know what I mean? So me taking fights in Grand Rapids will never hurt my image just for the fact of this is where I'll probably live or be around this area forever. You know what I mean? This will always be an area that I'm a part of. So coming back to fight here later on in my career is always possible. So, I mean, like I said, I don't try to be stingy, and I don't try to, like, overlook, you know, opportunities. I just take it all in, and, you know, whatever my heart and my mind tells me I should do, that's what I do. So with a win or a loss, you know what I mean, I'm going to still be here fighting and, you know, taking tough fights. I always take tough fights, and, you know what I mean, that's just the person I am.
So with you having fought at the Deltaplex before, you know, and you said that you're going to be around Grand Rapids probably forever, you know, usually from everything I saw, even when it, you know, with the first Lights Out show and even when they were still running KOP, I mean, they sold that place out pretty regular. And I mean, it holds a good number of people. You know, what does experience like that in front of those big crowds do for you as you start to get these offers from the bigger promotions, like you mentioned, you know, like even though the fights in Grand Rapids are smaller, what does being in front of some of these bigger crowds do for you?
That's a tough question for me, man, because like I said, I grew up wrestling, and I was wrestling on one of the best teams in the state of Michigan, you know, when I was in high school. So every dual meet or any kind of a team tournament that we did was usually really high level, and there's always a lot of people. And then, you know, wrestling team states and, you know, state tournaments or even college tournaments that are big college tournaments, there's a lot of people, a lot of eyes on. So, I mean, I've been in the spotlight for a long time, you know what I mean, performing against guys that, you know, when you wrestle in high school, you don't get the choice to take a wrestling match or not take a wrestling match. So when you're on a good team, you know what I mean, and you're wrestling another good team, you're probably going to get a dog. So no matter what, you're in a dog fight. There's no yes or no. So I just use that, you know what I mean? I'm comfortable no matter what situation it is, no matter how big the crowd is, you know what I mean? No matter what they're doing, I'm usually pretty comfortable.
And it kind of brings up a question that I've always wondered about. I don't know why I never thought about asking any of the fighters we've had on the show. So from the time that you're in the locker room, you're, you know, warming up, you're getting ready for the fight. What is it like from that time when your music hits, you're walking out to the cage and you get into that cage? Like, what's going through your mind? How are you feeling at that time? What is going through your head during those times?
You know, I mean, usually when I'm getting my hand wraps, I'm pretty calm. I'm pretty collected. And, you know, by the time you're out there warming up and your nerves are starting to kick in, you know, everybody gets nerves. But, you know, once your music hits and you're going out, it's really a surreal moment. You know, when you're a little kid and you play video games or if you watched anything, you always dreamed of an announcer, you know, yelling your name into a mic.
Right.
You know, and people hearing and you coming out. So I usually just try to live in the moment. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think about the good and the bad. You know, obviously I care about my family. So, you know what I mean? I pray and, you know, say, God, take care of me. And, you know what I mean? Reach out where I need to reach out and make sure my family's good. And, you know, I'm always going in there to perform because that's what I've been doing my whole life, you know.
So, obviously, well, obviously isn't a good way to put it, but with you being a heavyweight, you know, and stuff like that, I'm sure you probably do a lot of studying a lot of the top guys, you know, in your weight class. What are your thoughts on the heavyweight division right now as a whole in those big divisions? Because we just saw all the stuff with the big Bellator heavyweight tournament with Bader and Fedor and all them. And, you know, we've seen that the heavyweight division in the UFC has been kind of lackluster the last couple of years up till Stipe, you know, kind of took over. And then now with DC having the belt, you know, what are your thoughts on the division as a whole? And where do you think you fit in with all that?
You know, I think all fighting's awesome. You know what I mean? I'm not really one to pick and choose and say people are good or people aren't good. You know, it's, to me, the UFC is like, you know, the champions division
for sure.
of fighting. You know, and all of us regional fighters are, you know, winning championships. And then when you're a champion in a small world and people view you as a great champion, you know, then you get the chance to step into the UFC and, you know, battle with all the other champions from all over the world. So I just see this as, you know what I mean, preparation to whatever's going to come next, you know, and I don't know. It's just a hard one for me because I'm not, you know, one of those people that, you know, is going to sit here and toot my horn and say I'm the best in the world. And, you know what I mean? I'm better than anybody. You know, I just think you got to show up on fight night no matter who you're fighting and perform, you know, to the best of your abilities. And, you know, wherever you fall in the world, you know, and all that matters is that you use it for good. You know what I mean? And you know, just do the best you can and, you know, try to help everybody else around you.
Brett, go ahead.
But, yeah, I mean, it would be, it's obviously, you know, fighting at the top of the world, you know, being in one of those tournaments for Bellator or even one of those tournaments for PFL, you know, that was a pretty awesome thing to see, you know, another group of guys getting an opportunity like that, you know, as men and having the family to take care of. And, you know, you just seeing that stuff makes you happy because, you know, that's what we work for. So, obviously, the world's full of great fighters, you know, and I'm breaking out on that horizon to be able to put, you know, my name in that hat with those guys. And I've always been able to compete. So, you know, I, obviously being on that level would always be fun because they're all great fighters.
And Brett, you said you're 24 years old. You're still a young man. You said you wrestled for most of your life. For someone that's in their teens, and this is a question for a friend of mine, for someone that's in their teens that's getting into wrestling now, after, you know, they've been wrestling in high school and go to college and wrestling, what do you think should be the next discipline for them to pick up as far as, you know, getting into MMA? I know a lot of people say wrestling is one of the best, you know, bases for an MMA fighter, but as far as striking or ground game or whatever the other disciplines they need to pick up, what would you say is the next best discipline for someone that wants to get into MMA? What should they pick up?
If they're coming straight out of wrestling, I'd say the most important thing is going to be your transitioning from your striking into your wrestling. You know what I mean? You got to make sure you have a good stance that's going to benefit you as a wrestler. Not, you know, I don't want to have a Muay Thai stance. I don't want to have a boxing stance. You know, I want to have like what an MMA fighter would have, you know, a little bit wider, a little bit, you know, more with my feet underneath me at times so I can, you know, get underneath people and shoot if I need to or strike moving forward because, you know, that makes you very explosive. Being a wrestler. So, you know, anything they can do is great. You know, if you were a good wrestler, you know the discipline. And, you know, I did my whole amateur career by myself. I didn't train at a gym because I didn't have a gym near me. My job didn't let me train. And, you know, when I was an amateur, I was just doing it for fun. And then, you know, it turned into something that I was getting really good at. And, you know, now we're here. So, the biggest thing is just putting your foot in the door. You know what I mean? And then learning to be consistent with it. You know, everything else will fall in place.
Okay. So would you say that it's probably important for someone like that to find a good gym to link up with, or could they go your route and, you know, just figure it out on their own?
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with the person you are. You know what I mean? Can you push yourself? Are you somebody that can watch a video of somebody doing something and then do it without having to, like, even think about it? You know, because, like, with me being a wrestler, it's very easy for me to see something and then do it, just for the fact that I've been doing body manipulation for most of my life. So my brain works that way. Not everybody's that lucky. You know what I mean? Everybody else works different. So, I mean, like I say, a lot of it is based on the person you are. If you need somebody's help to push you every day to be giving you a workout to do, you know, then, yeah, you need to get into a gym and, you know, get that extra push from somebody or that extra help. You know what I mean? Or if you're somebody that has kept workouts from years and years of training in your hip pocket that you, you know, can use to benefit you, you know, and you can get away with it because that's the way your life works. And, you know, that's your route. So a lot of it is, I'm always a personal preference person. You know what I mean? If that's what you like to do, then that's what you like to do.
Talking about preferences and things like that, you know, as we go into the second event here for Lights Out Championship, give me your thoughts on the promotion and, you know, where that ranks for you. I know that Grand Rapids, like you said, is home for you. Tell me your thoughts on what you've seen so far from Lights Out. And there's more than just you fighting on the card from your team, isn't it? There's the Perry twins are fighting as well, aren't they?
Well, the Perry twins are from my management.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
They're out of Battle Creek. But I have Brandon Emmons is fighting.
Okay.
He's also fighting somebody that's out of SFS gym. He's fighting on Agnew, I believe it is. So, and then we have Adrian Lyon on the amateur card that's fighting as well.
Nice.
So, yeah, and that's Triumph out of Grand Rapids.
That's what I thought. How, you know, explain to those... you know, who maybe haven't fought before or things like that. Does it change anything for you when you've got a card where you got a bunch of your teammates on there? Do you prefer to fight with on cards with your teammates or do you rather prefer to fight on your own?
To be honest, man, like I said, I grew up wrestling and we always had a good team chemistry. So it's always nice having your guys around and seeing your guys be successful the same night you are. You know what I mean? And, obviously fighting in Grand Rapids like I said, it's surreal, you know, cause it's my home place. It's the area I'm from. So I usually get a lot of support and, you know, I spent a lot of my career at the Deltaplex. So, you know, it's always nice to go to the Deltaplex, you know, no matter what promotion it is. And, you know, obviously I've personally known Matt for a while, so it's always going to be nice to put on shows for Matt, but I have went to other promotions, you know, in the last year and everybody treated me really well. I'm pretty professional. I usually do my best to, you know, keep my end of the deal up and, you know, make sure I'm selling tickets and showing up and being promotable and make sure I'm putting the event out there and, you know, following what fighters should do, you know, to be a successful fighter. So every promotion treats me really good. Every promotion that I've ever, you know, negotiated a contract or even had the thought about fighting usually treats me really well. So it's nice. Obviously fighting in Grand Rapids just because it's the area I'm from and, you know, this is the level we're at. So, you know, like I said, if the fight makes sense, that's where I'm going to fight.
Yeah. And shout out to Frendo, a former guest of the show, man.
Yeah. No, Matt, I grew up with Matt. Like a lot of people probably don't know that, but he's from the same home. He's from Asperia as well. Played football, baseball with my brother. So, I know Frendo very well. And, when he came into the fighting game is when I was starting to be a very successful fighter. So, you know, I mean, it's always nice to have that relationship as well as the business relationship. You know, I know his family really well and they're all very great.
And, it's kind of a question that I've asked a few people about the Michigan fighting scene itself. You know, it's more of a regional thing. More people probably don't know a lot of the companies here in Michigan, but for someone that's fought for many of those different promotions, all across the state. What can you tell people about the Michigan MMA scene in general and why they should come out to a local show?
You know, one thing, it doesn't really matter where you fight. You know what I mean? If you make a promoter respect you, you know, and show you your worth, then at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, you know, what they think, you know, words are words. But if you show up and you're professional and you're doing what you're supposed to do, you know what I mean? That promotion is only going to have the choice to take care of you because they're going to want to keep you around, you know. But everywhere in Michigan you fight, you know what I mean? You're going to get your trash talk at the same time as, you know, everybody's usually pretty respectful. you know, but it's for me, you know, I see fighting as in the regional scene is everybody's given a place to chase their dream. You know what I mean? And whether it's Detroit, whether it's Lansing, whether it's up north, you know what I mean? It's all these guys are, you know, giving us a chance to chase a dream and reach out for our goals or even just challenge ourselves. You know what I mean? For the people around us. So, I'll never say bad on any promotion just for the fact of, you know, everybody's got to start somewhere.
Here's a question for you, totally off base. As you know, our show is, you know, half wrestling and all that stuff. It's all come out in the news here in the last little bit that there's been a lot of talk about Frank Mir making his debut pro wrestling Mania weekend, and there's been a lot of talk about, you know, Brock getting back in the cage for the UFC and all those kind of things. Let me ask you this. Is somebody, you know, who's fighting right now and fighting in the heavyweight division, you know, what are your thoughts on all these guys that are either bouncing back and forth from MMA to wrestling or wrestling to MMA or vice versa? Because now you've got Ronda Rousey doing her thing in the WWE too. Like, what are your thoughts on that kind of stuff?
I think it's brilliant. You know what I mean? The more you widen your horizon of what you do, you know, the more successful you be, the more things you can do to help out or even just build your family. You know what I mean? I think if you got a dream, you should chase it. And, you know, when I was a little kid, I used to watch a lot of wrestling, and, you know, obviously now I watch it here and there, and, you know, I think it's hilarious. I think it would be fun to try out. And, you know, I'm a pretty outgoing person. So somebody approached me about it, you know, if I was on the level of, you know, Frank Mir and my name was that high, I mean, that's going to open up some eyes with you transitioning over to, you know what I mean, the professional wrestling scene. And, you know, it could open up a lot of doors, you know, as a you know, retired fighter. If you're getting to the point in your life where, you know, the actual physical fighting is just getting to be a little bit too much.
So, is there a chance that if some guys, I don't know, say a podcast decided, hey, they wanted to put on a wrestling show, and let's just say they wanted to have a match between an MMA fighter and a professional wrestler, you know, just one time, you know, nothing major. Would you be open to doing something like that?
I'd have to look into it. It'd be pretty fun, probably.
Oh boy, he doesn't have a clue. Yeah, we've thrown around the idea of doing our own show for a while. So that's where that's coming from. But you opened the door to ask my next question. So you mentioned that you watched a lot of wrestling as a kid. Who were some of the guys that you liked? What were some of the things that you remember, if anything?
Obviously, Mark Henry, Big Show. I was always into the big guys. You know, Kane was always one of my favorites. The Hardy Brothers.
I
was a little bit before, like, John Cena. John Cena was kind of like at the end, and Randy Orton. I wasn't really around like that into it. Obviously, The Rock, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin. That was when we were a little bit younger, and you know what I mean. Obviously, I love those guys, and still watch a lot of their movies and stuff. You know, I'll always enjoy that stuff.
Yeah, Mark Henry being the first name you threw out there, it kind of threw me off. Man. I didn't
can't
expect
even
that
lie.
One.
I was like, wow, that wasn't the name I was expecting.
No, but that's definitely a good one.
Me and my brother Malcolm is into the. We used to watch the strongman competitions a lot. So
okay.
When Mark Henry came into the wrestling, we knew exactly who he was.
Man, so you probably need to, if you were to watch it now, you probably need to check out this guy named Braun Strowman. He does a lot of those strongman competition. Well, he used to, but now he's a professional wrestler now. So,
no.
They had this guy, they've had him flip semis. They've had him
rip a door off of a limousine.
Like, the guy's like 6'8" and 350 and all muscle.
Yeah, they're huge, man. Those guys are all big, man. They're big dudes, big humans.
So, getting back to your fight and things like that, we've mentioned you coming into this fight and the wins that you're coming off of. Going against an opponent like Josh Parisian, who's coming off the Ultimate Fighter and got like this hype behind him and things like that. What if anything, is there anything that, you know, tools that he brings that, you know, raise alarms or anything, or what do you think fighting a guy like him does for you? Because in the heavyweight division around Michigan, he's one of the bigger names, just like Pokey was in your last fight, because you're really starting to get to the point where you've fought the top names and the heavyweight division and are one of the top names.
Yeah. No, Josh is he's a good striker. You know what I mean? He's creative. When he gets comfortable, he does good things, and he's coming out of a good gym. So, I mean, there's a lot of positives that come from this fight where it benefits me. You know what I mean? Even before the fight, just even being on this level and competing with somebody that was, you know, in everybody else's eyes and, you know, at the peak of the sport. So, whatever people think, and that's on paper, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, we're going to fight. So, it's nice. And I've always been one of those people that believes in, you know, if you're going to be the best, you got to beat the best. So that's why a lot of these guys think I call them out or, you know what I mean? I'm one of those guys that's like just trying to call out the best guys, but it's never really been like that. It's just, you know, if you ask Matt Frendo, you know, out of all the matchmaking times he's matchmade me, you know what I mean? I don't say no. You know what I mean? So whoever it is, I'm going to probably sign the contract and show up with a game plan to do the best I can, you know?
Well, as we start to wind this down, we'll ask a couple more questions and we'll get you out of there. Thanks again for joining us once again on Knockouts and Three Counts. But my last question, and really it's not even really a question. It's just we want to hear from you. Any words for your opponent? Or any words for the people out there that are thinking about coming to check out the fight?
No, just good luck. You know what I mean? Josh has been really, really respectful. We talked after my last fight. You know, he's a nice guy. He's a very respectful opponent. So, this is the kind of fights I do it for. You know what I mean? We get to, both be real respectful towards each other. And, we have the agreement that once that cage doors, you know, it closed, it's, you know, it's the fight game, and then after that, we're going to be friends, you know, and maybe even get some training in because, MMA is a lot bigger than just Michigan. That's why we take these fights to get them out of the way so that we can prepare each other for the world, you know, and get all of us to the highest level, and, you know, that's the ultimate goal. So if you're thinking about coming to the show, you obviously should because this is probably one of the best fight cards, you know, to get put together in Michigan. Michigan fighters are stepping their game up. So, I mean, pretty much any card you can make it to is going to be an awesome show. So, obviously come out because, you know, you're going to get your low amateur, you know, savage fights all the way to your calculative and creative pro fights. So you definitely should come check it out.
Is this fight going to be on UFC Fight Pass?
I'm not sure. I know it's on Fight TV or something like that.
Yeah, I knew it was on one of those.
Kind of a pay-per-view.
I just couldn't remember which one it was, but
yeah,
man. You know, Devin pretty much wrapped up what my last question was going to encompass, so I kind of left me out in the wind here. But either way, man, you know, thank you so much for coming on the show, man, and best of luck in the fight. And we're definitely going to have to link up the next time we end up at one of your fight cards. Like I said, I mean, I don't know for sure if I'll be able to make it out for this one, but I'll definitely be at one of your fights real soon.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys having me on. It's always nice. And, shout out to all my fans and my sponsors and, and my team and, of course, you know, all the supporters for, you know, being a part of my journey.
Hey, make sure you throw out your social media and any sponsors and your gym. Go ahead, throw those out there too, man.
Yeah, shout out to Triumph MMA in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Triumph Jiu-Jitsu, our Muay Thai team for, everything those guys do. And, you know, obviously my sponsors, there's a bunch of them, so I don't usually try to get too picky and individual on them, but, they all know who they are and that I appreciate what they do, and that's pretty much it. Social media is Brett Big Dog Martin. You know, you can find me on Instagram or Facebook that way. Like I said, I appreciate you guys having me on, and can't wait.
Last question, since I know all your fans look out for this thing. Any surprises on the walkout this time, and what we're gonna see with your storied walkouts?
Last fight I didn't get to dance because the DJ. I don't know if he didn't get my song that I wrote down or what, but he played a song that I, of course, had never heard in my life. But this time with it being in Grand Rapids, and Frendo knows what my walkouts are, and he knows I love it, so I'm sure we'll have some fun on the way out. It's usually never planned; it's just more of a get comfortable and have a little fun. You know what I mean?
Hey, man, I love it, dude. It's hilarious. If you haven't seen it, you got to see it, because he's super chill right before he's about to get in there and bang with somebody. So it's definitely, you definitely need to watch it. Just all the more reason you need to come out to Lights Out February 16th, Deltaplex Arena.
Yeah, no, always a good time, man. Always a good time.
Well, brother, man, we appreciate your time, and definitely we'll be keeping an eye on the fight.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks, no problem, man. Brother. All right.
So,
Brett Big Dog Martin.
So, since we got a little bit of time left, do you want to uncover any more of the stuff with Royal Rumble or TakeOver or where we've kind of landed?
I mean, I think we kind of wrapped up the whole Rumble and TakeOver.
Now, did you see your boy win Worlds Collide tournament?
Who?
Velveteen Dream.
You know what? I didn't finish it, but I had a feeling that he was going to be the one that...
It came down to him and Tyler Bate.
Yeah, that's the last match I didn't see. But, I think I saw what happened. I think I saw how that played out, which that's the one thing about NXT that sucks, is that they pre-record them. So sometimes, you know, the information leaks out. I won't spoil it for those of you. I'm hoping I didn't see what really happened, but I'm looking forward to watching NXT over the next few weeks, because you're getting to see the fallout of TakeOver leading up to the next TakeOver for WrestleMania. I'm at kind of like a weird place right now with NXT. Most of the people that are there right now, I love all of them, and I don't want to see them move up. I don't. But I know some of them are going to have to move up eventually. But I think right now they have a really good crew of people, man. I'm really enjoying the matches they're putting on right now, from, you know, just TakeOvers to your weekly shows, man. And
well, so that brings me to another question. So I was thinking about this the other day. And obviously, you know, every year at WrestleMania, there's always call-ups and all that stuff.
Right.
But really, to be honest, man, I don't – and this is where my question comes. You've got your two champions, main champions down there. You've got, Tommaso Ciampa. You got Shayna Baszler. Okay. I'm not necessarily so sure. Everybody's like, you know, Shayna's about to get moved up and all this stuff. Dude. I'm not so sure that either one of them are going to go anywhere, or that they need to go anywhere yet, because I feel like with the expansion of NXT, it's becoming more and more like NXT is the third brand. Like, I think it's still looked at in a developmental sense right now, but I mean, dude, they continue to put on good show after good show after good show. And if Halftime Heat wasn't evidence of that, I don't know.
Halftime Heat, man. And it's funny, I was watching that match with my friend P, and he's really just now starting to get into wrestling or whatever, and like, he was just mesmerized the whole time. And like, I just kept saying, like, oh, they're putting the foot on the pedal for this match. You know, most of the time, you know, when you have a wrestling match, they try to, you know, pace it out a little bit. No, they went full force throughout that whole match. It was like nonstop action. But I don't think I really want to see anybody called up, but they're going to have to, especially with.
Are they though? I mean, you just brought up EC3, you brought up Lacey Evans, you brought up Nikki Cross. We just saw her team up with Alicia Fox on Monday.
Right.
You had Heavy Machinery. You've also got who else? There was one more.
EC3.
I might have got them all. Lars Sullivan, but he didn't debut
yet. Yeah, we're still waiting to see what's going on.
I mean,
with that.
You just brought up a bunch of people. You don't really need to put anybody else up there right now.
Yeah, but you're probably losing Dolph. You're losing Dean Ambrose. You're going to be losing. Talk as the Revival is going to be gone. You know, you're going to lose people.
So here's my thing with that, though, right? Like, I agree with that, but I'm not so sold that Dolph's going anywhere, right? Because I just watched an interview the other day in which he said a lot of the reason why he hasn't been on TV, he said, dude, I've been there and done it all. He said, I wanted more time to be able to do my side interests.
Oh, real quick. He has a stand-up show in Toledo coming up sometime soon.
I'll do it. I don't care.
I forgot the date. I got to look it up again. I'm not even sure if I'll be able to go, but it caught my eye. But.
Yeah, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he said that, you know, WWE was trying to, like, you know, afford him the ability to be able to
Well, I'm not saying that he's leaving. I'm just saying it, that's the rumors going around.
Well, of course. And that always, a lot of people that always comes. But I, like with him, I'm not so sure. I don't know that he's going to go anywhere. As far as Ambrose now, Ambrose kind of surprised me because I just thought, dude, I honestly thought with the way they brought him back and all that stuff and like the great shape that he came back in and all that stuff. And then like to be hot off rip like that, just for it to kind of.
I thought they botched it.
I think it started off good, but I think it died quick.
And you got to realize, I think with him, I think it's more of a, and he kind of said it, it's kind of a creative thing. Like even from, you know, years ago up to like the, from like the Brock Lesnar match where they got nothing. And then all these different storylines that they've used him in over the years and not really defining his character. And if you watch the
Chronicle.
Yeah. You could tell that he was frustrated.
That's what I said, too. And that's why when the whole thing with the WWE putting that out on their website, which they never usually do, I was like, you know, if you really think about it and really pay attention, you know, in the Chronicle thing, that's the first thing I said. Because in the opening scene, matter of fact, he was getting annoyed by some of the questions that they were asking. But so I was listening to Xbox podcast the other day. And he was talking about the whole Dean Ambrose thing, all that stuff. And he said that, you know, Dean Ambrose isn't a guy that you job out on the way out. And when I thought about it, I was like, yeah, he's right. Because, I mean, he was a bigger name. But, you know, in the last couple weeks, we've seen
him get,
you know,
get punched by Nia Jax, him lose to EC3. And I think, okay, whenever someone goes out, the rule is, and I wish Tony was here to kind of back this up. Kind of the rule is that you go out on your back, right? You put somebody else over to make them look good. But my question is, are they going to do this from now up until Mania? Because
that's where I was going with it. Like, you know, I totally agree that that's how things usually happen with that. But like, you would think, especially with him knowing he's there till April. Like, you would think that they wouldn't just fucking shit him out on TV until April. Like, but, I mean,
honestly, I'm surprised they even got him on TV.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, well, most of the time when someone, you know, says, basically tells them that they don't want to be there anymore.
Well, listen to what Jericho said. Did you listen to the episode of him explaining him going to AEW?
Yeah, but what are you talking about in particular?
Like, he said it. He was like, you know, when the greatest Royal Rumble happened, he said, you know, I was scheduled to be the one to do the casket match with Taker.
Right.
And then, you know, I let Vince know a few days before that I was going to be doing more stuff with New Japan. And, you know, that the All Elite thing was a definite, or no, that wasn't at that point, but he was going to do more stuff with New Japan. Mm-hmm. And because of that, that's why they put Rusev there. Like, it just, you wonder, like, do they shit him out? Like, Jericho, you know, they just...
Yeah, why would they want to make someone that's leaving or not going to be wrestling somewhere else look good on their program?
Well, of course. Right. And Jericho was like, no, I don't have no heat with it, you know, because it's business.
Right.
But he said, you know, I could start to tell that because Vince didn't know where I was going to be at, you know, I could see that when I would pitch things, it would kind of... shit out. And then the question is, what happens with Renee? I don't think she's going anywhere, but
I think she's happy where she is.
And I don't think Dean would do anything
right
to try to fuck that up. Because I mean, let's face it, that's groundbreaking what she's doing right now.
And she's definitely getting better at it too. At first you could tell she was trying to, you know, feel her way through, and she's still, you know, feeling her way through.
But
it takes time. But yeah, she's definitely
I think she's done a good job of handling when people try to throw her relationship at her too. Like she's like developed this way of like saying fuck you without saying fuck you when you like mind your own business without saying it. You know, like, and it's been clever with the little jabs that I've seen her throw in, like. At least I thought so.
It's funny. I was listening to Sam Roberts' podcast last week, and he had Renee. It was Corey Graves and Renee Young on there from Royal Rumble weekend. And like, if you listen to them on Monday Night Raw, you would think they fucking hate each other at times. But like, listening
they're
to
like best friends.
Yeah, best friends. But it's like, you could probably only go that far with your best friend. Because sometimes it sounds like they almost about ready to start, you know.
Well, it's the same with Graves and Saxton. Like, he's talked about it before. He said, you know, people talk all kinds of trash about Saxton, and I bust his balls and everything else. But he said, dude, that kid works harder than – he's openly said it in interviews. Like, he said, you know, I bust his balls, but, you know, and, like, that's the thing. That's why I enjoy listening to Graves, is that he sometimes legitimately can make people, like, just forget that his job is to piss you the fuck off. Like, I enjoy that stuff, but it'll be interesting to see how things play out with Dean. And you know he's going to be out for at least a few months, but what do you think happens with him after this? Because we've heard about how...
Who, Dean?
Yeah, like, we've heard about how, you know, mild-mannered of a life he lives, and, like, lives, you know, within his means. So he's, you know, it ain't about the money at this point, because they said reportedly he was offered 5 years at $1 million a year at a downside, which means he could have made well over that.
I think me and my boy P were at work looking up, you know, his net worth. I think he's worth like $8 to $10 million right now. So it's not about the money with him. Is right now he's sort of like in a CM Punk situation.
Do you see him wrestling again though?
Yeah, I could see him wrestling.
Or do you think he's going to take like a long period off?
I think he'll probably take some time off, probably, you know, pursue whatever other interest he has for a little while. But I could definitely see him, you know, popping up in a couple shows. I could see him, you know, maybe going to Japan for a couple shows or something like that, working it with a Ring of Honor or All Elite maybe. But with a guy like that, I can see him never wrestling again. Like, you never know. It's just whatever he wants to do right now. Money is not an issue for him.
Well, let's since you mentioned Ring of Honor and those things, let's talk about a couple of the other headlines that I've heard about, in that they were just talking about, I just watched the most recent episode of Being the Elite. And it looks as though Pentagon and Phoenix are now going to come to AEW.
Yep.
That's another huge hit for them. I mean, like our guest Sam Adonis said last week, Pentagon and Phoenix are probably going to be the most busy motherfuckers at WrestleMania.
Definitely.
And, you know, to get them on AEW, and then in Ring of Honor, I was watching Monday's episode. Juice Robinson was over there. Juice Robinson was over there. Dave Finley was over there.
If I'm not mistaken, I think they're free agents right now. I think Juice, Finley, and another Gai Jing is a free agent right now. So I could see them going to Ring of Honor exclusively.
Juice already signed with Ring of Honor.
Okay, yeah.
Juice already signed with them. Dave Finley had a great match with Hot Sauce Tracy Williams.
Okay.
And then Bandito fucking killed it against I gotta think about it. Mark Haskins.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, like, Ring of Honor, you know, for everybody that thought that they were gonna go down the hole, dude.
Right now,
bringing some fucking heat, dude.
Right now, Ring of Honor they don't have the star power right now because they've lost the Bullet Club was a huge part of their.
That's
their
undeniable.
But the match quality, I think, it's still gonna be the same. It's still gonna be great matches. It's just they have to build up some more names to basically replace what they lost with the Bullet Club and the Young Bucks name. But man, I'm pretty sure I've said this on the show. If I haven't, I'm gonna say it right now. Right now, to me, is probably the best time in professional wrestling that I remember. I think right now it has a chance to be even bigger than the Attitude Era, the Monday Night Wars.
That's saying something, though, man.
It's saying a lot, because, and the reason why I'm saying that,
I think maybe the best time in the business for workers. But that being said, I can't even argue that in the fact that, I mean, dude, for fans, I mean, there's so much good shit.
Because, and the reason why I say that is because, you know, you had three companies really in the late 90s, early 2000s to choose from. But the problem was that the exposure that each one of them had was different. Basically, you had the big two, WWF and WCW, and you had ECW that was regional. The thing now is that Ring of Honor, they have a streaming service. You can find them anywhere. Impact, they got to figure something out. I don't even know what channel they're on right
they're
now.
They're on Pursuit, but you can watch them on Twitch every week.
Okay, well, they're available everywhere. All Elite's probably going to get a big TV deal. And I wouldn't be surprised if they have a streaming service.
WWE's stream. Going back to Fox, or going to Fox, too, on top of already still having USA on Monday. Like, I mean, wrestling's getting to be mainstream again. Everybody who says, oh, wrestling's died, no, the fuck it hasn't.
But you will be able to find any wrestling that you want. And the name, you got big names starting
Ring
to
Ring of Honor
around.
Is even at the point now where you can find them all the time. Like, I don't have Sinclair Broadcasting, but I can watch it every week on Fight TV.
Well, it comes on Channel 20 here.
Oh, I just watch it on Fight TV.
Yeah, it comes on at like Saturday, like 3 o'clock in the morning. But yeah, you can find it here in the Detroit area on Saturday nights. But
so before we get out of here, why don't we talk a little bit about this weekend?
Yeah, it's kind of up in the air for me, but
yeah, we got to figure out if we're gonna.
Thanks, GM.
We got to figure out if we're gonna make it.
I'll definitely be there Sunday, but Astronomicon's this weekend, man.
Exactly, man. And this year you've got Scott Steiner there. You've got Gold Dust,
the Boogeyman,
Jake the Snake, and
Scott Hall,
and
Debo. Debo gonna be there.
Debo's gonna be there. AKA, the Paranormal Activity people are gonna be there. You know, last year, if
Bam Margera.
Oh my God.
Viva la Bam.
Wow, this makes me feel really old.
You know, even though that he's not a wrestling guy, I think we got to try and get him on the show. It might be a little hard because he's probably going to be really, really busy, but I think we got to try and get Bam Margera.
Dude, we got to try to get all of them on the show. But for those of you that have been rocking with us for a while, you know, that's where we got the Booker T and the Bruce Prichard and Eric Bischoff interviews all in one weekend. So stay tuned. There could be some very interesting.
Wait, hold on. Let me look in the camera. Look. For those of y'all that be in the wrestling group talking about something, we didn't even know that was going on. I have been posting shit about that for months, and we're talking about it right now. So if you want to go meet all these great wrestlers, come out to Astronomicon this weekend.
Say
we didn't tell you. Damn it.
That's why you need to be watching the show, you motherfuckers.
I don't think we should be motherfucking people that listen to the show, but that's okay, Kyle.
Well, they know who I was talking about.
I know you can't help yourself, man.
They know who I was talking about. I wasn't.
Excuse me. That was a weird sneeze.
Whoa. It sounded like something I've heard.
Tim Payne. Excuse me.
Holy boy.
Excuse me. That was a weird sneeze. So let's go ahead and wrap it. What, anything else we need to break out real quick, man?
Shout out to Manib again. Other than that, if you need something to do Friday night, check out Motor City Casino. Pro boxing debut for Manib.
Oh, and next week we have a very special episode of Knockouts and Three Counts. Valentine's Day is next week. So I had this idea a while ago to have some people come on, talk about love and wrestling. So we got two couples that have some great stories dealing with wrestling and love. So we got Kip and Kyron coming on next week, and we also have Harry and Julia coming on next week. We'll tell their stories. But if you ever watched Being the Elite, they were on there, Harry and Julia. And
we were there. Both of us were there, so you can't just put it on me this time.
And then
so was Tony. Tony was there, too.
Tony was there.
So was Tiff.
And then Kip and Kyren, they got married. And then later on that day, we're at the Progress Wrestling Show. And I didn't know this. There's an article I'm going to post up on the Knockouts and Three Counts page. Make sure you read that article when I post it up. But they had a very, very interesting, good up and down day that day. So we'll talk about that next week, and we're going to have them on the show and talk about love and wrestling.
I'm already jealous because, like, that would be, like, the most dope-ass, proposal ever.
Yeah.
That would be – I'm just saying that's pretty dope.
But it's going to be weird talking about love when I'm dead inside and I don't believe it. But that's neither here nor there. But anything else we need to talk about before we, you know?
Thank you to all you guys that helped us have one of our best weeks out here, man, and checking out the show. Make sure if you're following along with us, share it to your friends, share it to everybody you know. You know, let people know about us. That's the only way we're going to grow. So thanks for watching. You can follow us. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit, N-O-K-O-U-T. And, yeah, make sure you're following the show page, Knockouts and Three Counts Podcast.
Yeah, and I'm Devin. Make sure you check me out on Twitter at Devin63. That's Devinthe63. You can find me on Instagram at AllStakeNoSizzle. Make sure you check out the Reality Era News group on Facebook where we talk wrestling. If you're looking for a car, check out Matthew Hargrave Chevrolet. That's mhchevy.com. Check out their inventory. And if you find something, you go in there, go talk to Anthony and tell him I sent you. And he'll hook you up with a really nice deal on a really good car. I found a 2007 Monte Carlo with only 38,000 miles on it, man. That's like a rare find. They called it the unicorn. But all that being said, we'll see you all next week. Make sure you come out to Astronomicon.
Fuck your couch.
That's not even your catchphrase.
I stole it, all
right? Uh-huh.
Wait, you didn't steal anything. don't come